Welcome back to the Couch Ride Report podcast, NFL Top 100 Player List Reaction Show. I'm your host, as always, Damian Parson, with my main man, Deremy Dove. What's going on, Deremy?
What's going on, Damian? What's going on, Couch Rider Nation?
And yes, sir, man. Yes, sir. You know, definitely, it's been a long week. Long week, you know, in the process of moving and all this other stuff, man. But it's been a good week, man. How's your week been going?
I agree. It's been a long week from work and helping people out with plays and doing the podcast and everything. You know, trying to prep for all that stuff. It's been a long week, but it's always a pleasure. And you know what they say: we got to get the people what they want.
Oh, so most definitely, man. I agree 100%, my man. So, just like last time, guys, you know, we don't have Marvin with us, but definitely, you know, it's just, you know, we're still going to bring you that content, that flavor, that, you know, just unadulterated sports talk, you know, and every week, like I said before, every week, guys, as the NFL Top 100 Playlist reveals the next 9 to 10 players, every week we will drop a show just giving you our reaction, our feedback, our thoughts, because this list is made by the players. So we're just going to dig into it and give you our honest opinions, whether we agree or disagree, whatever the case may be. We're going to give it to you guys. So, you know, Monday night, they revealed picks 60 through 51. So just like last time, Demi, you know, you already know how it goes. We're going to talk about whose spot we agree with. Like, hey, that person belongs in this spot. What spot we're like, I don't know if he belongs here. He may be a little bit lower. Or that person we definitely feel should be lower on the list. So you ready to get going, man?
Yes, sir. Let's do it, Dave.
All right. So who, from pick 60 to 51, who do you feel belongs where they are? Who are you in total agreement with?
I'm in total agreement with Dez Bryant, number 60, to be honest with you.
Wow, okay.
I just think after the past couple of seasons, he's kind of has lost that allure with me. I'm wondering where I think he's still a talent, but honestly, this year will be huge. It's Dak's second year, and I kind of want to see, will he miss Tony Romo? You know, healthy Tony Romo.
Right.
I'm looking at 796 receiving yards. You know, he had 8 touchdowns, but he's still a freak talent. But 13 games played, the injury bug in 2015 hit him. You know, he hasn't been healthy. I think that's a good spot for him, that he is still a top 100 talent. He still is a top receiver, but it's a combination of your – you know, body of work, but also what have you done for me lately? And what has Dez done for us lately is, you know, he's part of a team, he's part of a process. You know, Dallas has that great O-line, they have Zeke running the ball, but I'm trying to see where he fits now as that weapon. And
right,
for him and that chemistry to be a great tandem, a great QB receiver tandem yet. So my eyes are really on just seeing how he will do with year two with Dak. Tony is out of the picture. Can him and Dak build that rapport? Can he be healthy and be a top 5 receiver like he once was back in 2012, 2013, 2014 when he was getting 1,300 yards and, you know, double-digit touchdowns? Can he get back to that point? So Dez Bryant is right for me. I like where he's at.
Okay. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I got a couple things I want to say about Dez later on in the show. but for me, man, when I looked at this list, it's a good crop of players, man. You know, it's hard to just nitpick these guys. The person I truly believe belongs where they are, for me, it was tough because there's so many good players. I ended up going with Jameis Winston at 57. Jameis Winston is a player for me that's on the rise. You know, when you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they were not a good team. When you look at talent wise, especially on the offensive end, you know, when he first came in, he had the Twin Towers. He had a aging Vincent Jackson and a young Mike Evans. He also had Austin Seferian Jenkins at tight end, who I can't remember what happened to him, but he ended up getting cut from the team. I think he got had some off the field issue, got cut from the team. He ended up going to the Jets. It's like you lost a piece, then Vincent Jackson just pretty much fell off the face of the earth. So it was just Mike Evans. Then you had Adam Humphries, the little slot, receiver. You had he just did not have the best crop of talent. The offensive line wasn't the best. Then he didn't have a good running game, but he still was able to get them to 9 wins and nearly a playoff berth. And going forward, that's why I look at him, because you look at, especially when you look at what they're bringing to him this year, getting O.J. Howard out of Alabama at tight end, getting DeSean Jackson, drafting Chris Godwin out of Penn State, getting, now I've read some reports that Doug Martin says he is mentally and physically stronger than he was last year, going through the things he was going through off the field and stuff like that. So could that be a good sign for Jameis to give him some more help? Yes. But they also drafted another Boise State running back, Jeremy McNichols, in the draft. So for me, he, like I said, he's a rising star. A rising star quarterback in this league. Him, Marcus Mariota, those are two of my favorite young signal callers to just watch and break down film on him. So when I look at him, he fits right where he is. He's not too high in my opinion. He's not too low, because he's still rising. He didn't crack. Now, if he was in like the top 40s, okay, yeah, then they're pushing it a little bit. But he's right where he is. He's underneath 50, underneath 55, actually. He's at 57. He's in the top 60, and I'm completely fine with that. This guy is a baller. He makes plays, and the fact that he was able to elevate the talent around him when teams were keying on Mike Evans, he was able to elevate, you know, Adam Humphries at times. And, you know, I remember Jaquez Rogers came in and played well against the Panthers for a stretch when Doug Martin was dealing with the issues that he was dealing with and everything. Of course, he still has an injury bug, but we got to see if he can ever shake that in his career. But when I look at it, Jameis Winston is on the rise for me, man. So I completely agree with his ranking with Jameis Winston at 57.
Wow! I have some thoughts on that too, because that's my guy who, when I'm watching the show on Monday night, I was shaking my head at, just saying no, way too high. I'm just looking at, I think you're right in the fact that, you know, this Tampa Bay team is on the rise and he's rising up. And the question is, there's a question of who out of all these people who are on this list and all the 100 players, give me your 5 guys who will be, you know, who will really jump up in the top players of 2018. He could be number one. I really do. But I'm looking at, he's a few spots behind Andrew Luck at 51.
Right.
Honestly, Andrew Luck being at 51 is a joke, but we'll get back to that later.
Yeah.
But Jameis, I can't put Jameis. They have Jameis over Kirk Cousins.
Oh, I'm definitely putting Jameis over. I'm not a believer in Kirk Cousins whatsoever.
I'm not either. I think Jameis, whose ceiling is higher, of course, but going by what I've seen the past few years, I would put Kirk Cousins over him.
I couldn't. I'm going to tell you why I couldn't. Kirk Cousins, to me, is fraudulent because of, especially in the red zone, he struggles mightily in the red zone. And when you have, I remember, you know, before it was like midseason when the Patriots lost Gronk, right? And even though we won games, we lost one game with Tom Brady, we lost to Seattle, close game, great game. Going into the playoffs, I heard from a lot of people, well, Brady has never won in the playoffs without Gronk. And I was like, all right, you guys are making this a little bit too big. I said, I can guarantee you we win and we go to the Super Bowl. We won and we went to the Super Bowl. And we came back and won the Super Bowl without Gronk. When Kirk Cousins lost Jordan Reed at times last year, he didn't play as efficient or as well. He still had DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon and my man Jameson Crowder out of Duke, who I am just a huge fan of, and I believe he's on the rise as a receiver in this league. Not an elite guy, but you know,
Jordan Reed, I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, I mean
not Crowder yet. Any name outside, and with who was his? Rob Kelly was the back
I'm not gonna lie about his back. His back wasn't the best. His backfield was not the best whatsoever.
I think Jameis, but for me to put him in, I think if, you know, if you had him in where Alex Smith was, you know, where was Alex Smith at number 81, like, you know, we talked about last week.
Yeah, he shouldn't even be on the list, but.
I know. I'm saying, take Alex off and you put Jameis there, I would like it. But to be in the top 50s, and like number 55, and then to be close to Andy Luck, to be over a Kirk Cousins or a Phillip Rivers right now, I don't see. I think he will be there one day.
He's right, right.
But to me, he had free reign to do a lot. The 18 interceptions I wasn't a fan of.
True. He's a gunslinger.
The low passing percentage I was not a fan of either with Jameis. And I'm not trying to knock him because I'm a fan. I am rooting for him. I just think as of right now, he should be on the list. But he's not a Malcolm Butler. But he's just way too high for me. He's too high right now.
Hey, I understand. I told you, yeah. I mean, he makes some good points. Like I said, he's a gunslinger. And he's sitting there, you know, with those interceptions. That's a lot of interceptions. You know, that's a lot of interceptions. I can't lie about that. And the thing for me, like I said, just the fact that I believe if you flipped roles last year, you put Kirk Cousins in that Tampa Bay offense, I personally don't believe they win 5 games with Kirk Cousins as a quarterback. So because the talent on that offense is so much, last year anyway, was so much, you know, was at a lesser point than what Kirk Cousins was dealing with in Washington, a good offensive line, you know, he had a decent backfield. Tampa Bay didn't have pretty much any backfield after Doug Martin kept going, you know, Mr. Jekyll, Dr. Hyde, Mr. Jekyll, whatever you call it. He just kept disappearing and reappearing and everything else. And then, of course, only had one receiver. And over there in Washington, Kirk Cousins had at least three when you look at it. So, and not including the rookie Josh Dotson, who I think is going to step up pretty big this year. He has to anyway.
Huge fan of Jordan Reed. I'm not a fan of Pierre Garçon.
Pierre Garçon, he's just a possession guy, pretty much.
I think Deshaun in Tampa with you know, Mike Evans there and, you know, the young O.J. Howard, I think the pressure's off. But Deshaun, ever since he's left Philadelphia, has been a disappointment to me.
Those injuries, man. It seems like he couldn't stay on the field for nothing.
I don't know if I agree. I don't know if it's a big swing if you flip Kirk Cousins and Jameis Winston as of now. I don't know if I see that. But, I mean, I'm looking at I think what has me appalled is that he's that close to Andrew Luck.
Oh, I'm going to get into that in a second because I don't agree with that either. We're going to get into that in just a second, too. Because with Luck, man, you know, to me, Luck is a top quarterback in his league. I think the reason why Luck is where he is because of his organization. They don't build around him. They haven't been. This draft, they've done a good job. They've done a good job in this draft and this offseason, in my opinion. When you look at it, a couple years ago, they drafted Philip Dorsett. When you needed offensive line and defensive line help, you took the wrong pieces at the wrong times. When this guy's out there getting killed, he had a bruised spleen at one point. I'm like, how does your quarterback get, how is he getting hit that many times where you mess with his spleen? Like, what's going on, Indy? Like, you didn't do that to Peyton?
Let's talk about it. I mean, with Andy Luck having Frank Gore, old man Gore.
His Reverend, first 1,000-yard rusher in the, what, I think Andrew Luck's career almost?
That porous. Damien, how bad was that offensive line?
It was bad. When they made the right pick drafting Ryan Kelly as a center last year, he definitely helped. That's why the run game was a little bit better. But, yeah,
And people love T.Y. Hilton. I think he's okay. Thank you, Hilton. But that receiving core is not that impressive. And for him to be, he played 15 games, he went 8-7, 31 touchdowns, 13 picks. He's a top 5 quarterback in this league, and to be at 51 is a joke.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it for me, when I look at his receiver, I'm cool with his receiving core, his starting two receivers anyway. Philip Dorsett still has to show that he can produce. Because he does have the physical talents, the 4.43 speed, electric, super fast shifty guy. But you know, T.Y. Hilton, a lot of people didn't know, coming out of Florida International, nobody really knew who T.Y. Hilton was. They just thought he was just a special teamer, you know, like a Devin Hester type, for those who really just saw his highlights. Dude can play, you know what I mean? And when you look at, you know,
he's not an elite receiver, but
he's not top five yet, but he's moving in that the right direction. When you look at him, because he's been in the league, what, since 2012. His first year, he only had like 800. He had 861 yards. He's gotten better pretty much every year. Every year. Last year, he led the league, I think, in receiving yards, if I'm not mistaken. And definitely, and the biggest thing is for that offense, with that core, is that, because I like Dante Moncrief as a complement to T.Y., because what I look at is, can your weapons complement each other? Dante Moncrief is the bigger possession type. He has speed to him, but he's more of a possession receiver. You got to make the above the head, the tough grabs, while T.Y., when you look at a lot of his tape, he is the more shifty or the faster guy. He has some toughness to him, but they got to be able to complement one another.
I will give you, T.Y. Hilton is a good receiver, maybe a lower top 10 receiver in this. No, I'm not talking.
I think he's climbing up in that range.
Which I don't know if he's a product of Andrew Luck or not, but okay, I'll give you that. And I like the tight end. I like Dwayne. Oh, is Dwayne Allen still there?
Dwayne Allen got traded for a fourth round pick to the Patriots.
Right. So Dwayne Allen was someone I liked that Andrew Luck had, and the other tight end.
They had Kobe Fleener, but he disappeared. Man, I don't know what happened to him.
So with all that, Andrew Luck still was 31 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. With really, we're saying he had a good receiver in T.Y. Hilton, who
that was it.
And for him to be at 51, when I don't think anyone can, I would laugh at anyone who really knows this game who can't put him in the top five.
Yeah, no, he belongs up there. I think it's more so with the, is the organization going to do right by him? Because when you look at how they built that team around Peyton, a lot of people complain and say, well, Peyton Manning, the reason why he couldn't win in New England is because he didn't have a good defense. That defense, just like LeBron James, let's flip it real quick, just like LeBron, they have the team in Cleveland right now built for his skill set, a bunch of shooters to spread the floor for him so he can work one-on-one and get to the basket and be able to kick out to open shooters for the three ball. When you look at that team was built for Peyton. It was a fast pace. He had, what, two Hall of Fame receivers, Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. And then he had Dallas Clark. He had Brandon Stokley at one point. Then he had Edgerrin James and Marshall Faulk. He had a good team. The defense was built to play with the lead. So when he would score points, then you got Dwight Freeney spinning off the edge. You got Robert Mathis coming off the edge. And you had Antoine Bethea, Marlon Jackson. You had complementary pieces that was built for him. They haven't built properly around Andrew Luck. And that bothers me because Andrew Luck is a top five quarterback.
Maybe top three. Outside of
possibly, yeah. Possibly. You could make that argument. You could make that argument. I know there's some New Orleans fans who are going to argue, like, no, Breeze is number three. But we talked about it last time. Breeze doesn't know when to check to a run. So I can't put you right now.
I have Luck as my third best quarterback in the game. And the way it's setting up with this list, they're going to have Dak Prescott over him.
Man, I hope not. I really hope not. I think you're right, but I hope not. I seriously hope not.
They're gonna put. I hope not too, because that's gonna really make this list fraudulent.
Oh, completely. In the words of Skip Bayless, you know, prisoners of the moment. He has no business above Jameis or Andrew Luck.
I agree.
No business. But let's. I mean, like I said, I hope, man, that show will be completely on fire if they reveal the next 49 picks and somewhere in that 49 Dak Prescott face pops up on my television screen. I'm gonna be completely pissed off. Let's see. Let's move on to who we are about, right? So, Jeremy, tell me who you're about in this list, in this crop of players.
It's tough. It is tough. Just there, it's hard to nitpick. It's hard to nitpick. I gotta look at Janoris Jenkins with the Giants, and he's a bad boy. So this is so hard. So hard. I think it's not on him being on the. It's just compared to other corners. You know, I don't know if I like Janoris Jenkins over Xavier Rhodes right now. Right now.
Right.
I think that's where I'm gonna say. Like, I'm not saying it's kind of like I said about Jameis. That he doesn't deserve to be here, but can I honestly look at people and say he's above Chris Harris Jr.? No. Is he above Xavier Rhodes? No. Is he above, you know, Coastal Carolina's own Josh Norman? No. So I have played. I mean, and I think, like you said, prisoner of the moment, he shut down Dez on Sunday Night Football. He picked off Aaron Rodgers twice in a game. Definitely a really good
quarterback. He stepped up. I agree with you saying. He stepped up big time last year. That was the best that he only allowed one touchdown when in previous years he allowed, I think, 5 per season or something crazy, some crazy stat like that. The question is, was that a 1-year thing? Or is New York just that perfect fit for him?
And that's my thing is, I can't look at anyone and say, right now, after just on last year, he's ahead of Chris Harris.
Right.
Or he's Xavier Rhodes. I can't say that. So I think 54 might be too high. Or I can't say prisoner mode, he's ahead of Josh Norman. I feel comfortable saying that. Not saying that he won't. Let's see what happens this upcoming year, and maybe he'll prove me wrong. And I'm like, yeah, this dude is he's a legit top 3 corner in this game. But right now, Janoris Jenkins, it's just high. I'm not saying he deserves to be on this list, you know, Couch Rider Nation. He's just a little high for me. But it's tough, like you say, you're nitpicking it, guys. But
yeah, exactly. It is going to get tougher as they get closer to the top 10 and top 5 and top 3. It's always going to be tougher. It's going to get tougher on this as this list goes on to nitpick, guys. For me, like I said, I agree with you on Janoris Jenkins because he balled out like crazy last year. He had this outstanding year. Was it just a 1 year? Was it just a 1-year wonder? Was it, or is it rather, the fact that New York and the system they play, the scheme they run, is that the best fit for him? So, like you said, just gotta wait and see what we get from him this year. For me, this may shock you a little bit, and it's kind of I'm a homer when it comes down to this guy. The way I pay respect to him, and the way I root for him. Josh Norman, I think, should be a little bit lower. I don't think Josh Norman was better than Xavier Rhodes last year. Nor do I think he was better than Chris Harris. I'm going to tell you why. There was a lot of games I watched him get beat.
I didn't care about it, too. That's tough, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, I want him to do well, and, you know, I would love to have him on the show one day, you know, if I could get that privilege. But, you know, I believe he is a top 10, top 5 type of corner in this league. I believe part of his problem last year was Washington's defensive scheme. They didn't allow him to play the way that he played in Carolina. Is he Richard Sherman? No, he's not Sherman. But he was in Carolina. He was able to follow more than he did last year. He started following receivers later on in the year. But like Terrell Pryor gave him some work. Odell gave him work at times last year. He struggled. Him and Dez Bryant, I think they cancel each other out because Dez is a good matchup for him. Dez is big, strong, but Dez isn't fast, nor is he quick twitch. When you look at somebody, the athletes like Terrell Pryor, he's going to give him some trouble. Odell is a horrible matchup for him, in my opinion, just for the fact that Odell is such the athlete and such the quick twitch athlete. He could stop and start on a dime. It makes it so hard for Josh Norman, a longer, tighter hip corner, to move and flow with him like a prime Darrell Revis would or a Deion Sanders would. You know what I'm saying? Those guys could flip with him a little bit easier.
That's why he has, when it comes to Odell, stick to the mind games.
Yeah, exactly. The theatrics of it all. The Batman versus Joker. They played in Carolina for the first time, when they played in New York, when he was in Carolina for the first time, when they got into that tussle, that was the whole thing. You know, I remember Odell coming out with the Joker gloves on, covering his face. And, you know, Josh Norman came out the tunnel with the Batman bat and everything like that. And, of course, for those who don't know, you know, a lot there are reports that the reason why they clashed was that Josh Norman was using some gay slurs or references. We don't know. Neither one of them were mic'd up enough to catch anything before or during plays. But Josh Norman did allude, you know, during his post-game interview. He's like, man, that's some female stuff that he was doing. And, you know, was that some of the stuff he was saying? Because Odell is emotional. So, but for me, when I, like I said, when I looked at it, I watched him get beat too many times last year. And that bugged me. When I watch a guy like Xavier Rhodes, you know, shut an offense down, shut a whole side of the field down to where he didn't even allow a catch, and he had a pick six to help ice the game. He was one of the top five corners, in my opinion, last year, Xavier Rhodes was a top five corner.
I could look at Josh Norman or Janoris Jenkins. I didn't go with Josh Norman for the fact that it's hard, but because 2 years ago he had MVP Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
And though last year he went down, he still was a good corner.
Yeah, he still was a good corner. He still made plays. And you know, for those who don't watch Coastal Carolina, I'm local, so I can see them. You know, the play in Carolina, it was when I think Drew Brees was out. It was versus the Saints. I think it was like week two. It was in the early weeks of that year. That year they went to the Super Bowl when he had that outrageous year. They were playing, I think, Luke McCown came in. And it was to ice the game. They were trying to go to Brandon Cooks. And he went up for an incredible interception and snatched it, you know, before it got to Cooks in the back of the end zone. If you saw him play at Coastal, he made a lot of plays like that. He can jump, and he's long, and he's like Mr. Stretch. He can go up and get it. So he has the ability. You know, like I said, I think this year I want to see Washington use him as their number one corner. That game, that first opening week when they played Pittsburgh, and Antonio Brown was torching Breshad Breeland. Washington, why don't you put your guy on him? Because for me, and this may shock some people. People may think I'm taking a shot at AB. AB isn't the quick twitch athlete that Odell Beckham is. AB's savvy. He's a savvy route runner. He's not quick twitch, nor is he super fast like Odell and Julio and Amari Cooper and all those guys. He's not running in the 4.443. If I'm not mistaken, you go back and look at his combine, AB ran in the 4.546 range. He's never been that fast, quick twitch, explosive guy. He's just really smart, savvy, and tough with his route running. It's hard to guard him. And so I would have put Josh Norman because he's more. It's a better matchup. But of course, they let Antonio Brown completely destroy Breshad Breeland, and I'm like, poor Breeland, man. Like Josh Norman's over there guarding, I think was it Sammy Coates? It was somebody. I was like, why is Josh Norman guarding this bum? Like, can somebody explain that to me? Like, I never, you know what I'm saying? I never saw Deion going against Jerry Rice guarding whoever was on the opposite side of Jerry Rice that nobody cared about. Like, I never saw that. I saw Deion Sanders. I saw if he was on the Falcons, if he was on the Cowboys. I saw the defensive coordinator say, get Jerry, get Michael Irvin, get these guys. You're our best against their best. But I don't know, man. You know, it's Washington just was dumb to me last year completely with that whole move.
You know what I also have to comment on is, to me, who's too low on this list, and he's a name, he's a household name, he's been on this list probably since they started, NFL Network started doing this, is Ndamukong Suh is too low for me.
Really?
He is. I think he still is the best D-tackle in the NFL, not named Aaron Donald. And I think he was a big reason why Miami finally got into the playoffs last year. I think he holds that defense together. He frees up a lot of people. Right. I still force to be reckoned with. I still think any interior lineman who has to see, if you're going to ask them who are they afraid to see, they're going to say it's number 93 in Miami. So, I mean, it's tough. I know his numbers don't pop out to people like they did when he was in Detroit, but I still think, like I said, outside of Aaron Donald, I think he's the best D-tackle in this game.
I agree with you there. Yeah, Dominican Sue is low because he ranked 40th last year. He dropped 15 spots. I'm just, besides Jared McCoy, Jared McCoy is a flat-out beast in my opinion. But
yeah.
I want to see who is in front of these guys besides Aaron Donald. What other interior defensive lineman is in front of these two guys? That's what I'm curious to see. Who else is on the list? So yeah, you picked, I picked Josh Norman. You picked Janoris Jenkins. We both went corner in that respect. Let's move on to the next part. What pick, what player in their spot do you completely disagree with and you feel like they should either be lower or higher, whatever the case may be? Who do you just, I think I know where you're going, but who do you just completely disagree with?
Well, boy, I kind of said a few with Luck, and I said Sue. You know, it's tough. I'm going to give you another one here. I'm going to, like I told people last week, I love the big uglies up front.
Right.
I think Zach Martin, I said last week, David DeCastro can rise up to be the best guard and give a fight for, you know, Marshall Yanda and Zach, you know, other people. But Zach Martin might make a run already and be the best guard in this game.
Most definitely.
If you're the best guard in football, I think you got to be higher than 58. As important as, and if, as we saw, as important as the offensive line play was to Dallas' success, as important as it was for Dak looking good, for Zeke getting, you know, honestly, I think maybe you can make a case he's the best lineman on that team outside of Tyron Smith. And some may say Zach Martin's better than Tyron Smith.
True.
So I think Zach Martin could be higher.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I like that pick. Zach Martin, I can't name. A couple years ago, you could say Marshall Yanda was the best guard in the NFL. I can't name another guard better than Zach Martin. I just can't. He's the total package, man. Total package. You know, he's what they call a road grader. He's a mauler. He'll just jack you up, you know, in a power scheme, run game, just up the middle, grab you and manhandle you. But he's also going to make sure his quarterback is standing upright. But the key element for me is somebody who played running back. I like a guard who can pull. So I like a guard who can move and has that quickness, the nimble feet, and has the balance and the athleticism to get out in the open field as I'm patiently running behind him and take out whoever's in front of him so that I can make my moves and try to score. So, you know, in the trap game and in the pulling game, he is crucial, man, because you don't find too many 300-pounders who can move the way he does in space. So I completely agree with you there.
And I'm giving love to a Fighting Irish, Notre Dame guy. So that's
and a cowboy. So
and that's how good Zach Martin is. I'm giving love. He just represents the evil empire, Notre Dame and the Cowboys. So that's how good the man is, everybody. If I'm giving love to all that, Zach Martin's a bad boy.
Very true. Now, to jump to who I completely disagree with, I feel the player I'm going to pick, I feel they should be a little bit lower, and that's Dez Bryant. Here's why. Talent-wise, Dez Bryant is still a top 10 receiver in this league completely. I've always nitpicked Dez for the simple fact that I don't expect him to be Julio Jones or Megatron just burning corners down the sideline. No, he's in a 4.52. He's not no speed demon or anything like that. But he's a physical specimen on the outside. The thing that bugs me with him is his route running. You know, one thing I think I made a real important aspect to my game when I was in high school. Whenever coaches would, you know, take me from the backfield and put me in the slot, I wanted to make every route look the same. You know, I watched probably too much Jerry Rice and Michael. I watched too many great receivers. I watched too much of their tape. So I was out there, I literally would sell an out route like it was a slant. Everything looked the same. But for me, his routes, is he doesn't run good routes, but he does have the body type to be able to pretty much post up a corner. But the more so reason why I feel like he should be starting, from what I've been hearing out of camp, what I've been seeing out of camp, they are starting, I think, Leo Collins at tackle and Jonathan Cooper, the former first-round pick from the Cardinals, at guard. So it's going to be a little mix-up. We're going to see what happens because, you know, when you take out a guy like Ron O'Leary, put, you know, a Jonathan Cooper who has not performed well in his career whatsoever, neither stay healthy, it's like, man, this is a little bit of mixing and matching here. What's going to happen? Tough. You know, what's going to happen? So,
right, the key to an O-line is that continuity.
Guys, completely. You got to be able to keep those guys on the same page and everything.
Those big three, though, are still going to be tough for teams.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, and Tyron Smith. And if, you know, Leo Collins plays well, if he does start at tackle and he plays well there, of course, it's still going to be, right now, on paper, I'm taking Tennessee's offensive line above them because Tennessee is keeping the same group and the continuity is still there from last year. That's a young group that's just growing, a dominant group. So definitely, man. But like I said, I just got to see Dez stay healthy. I just got to see him stay healthy. But, yeah, like I said, it was tough. This list was tough because it's going to get tougher as they continue to reveal players and it gets lower and lower on the list. It's like, man, how do you nitpick, you know, this player? How do you nitpick that player? And you know, you just got to be a scout in that regard and just say, hey, I wouldn't put him, you know, in this spot. That's all. But definitely, man.
If we gave everyone their due, we didn't take shots at anybody. But we just say, hey, you could be lower or you could be higher. And it's going to be fun. I do think, though, I think we're going to have a lot to say. If we see Dak Prescott's face on our televisions, then you might, Couch Rider Nation, you might have an angry Damien, an angry Jeremy coming at you.
Definitely, man. But again, man, you know, Jeremy, I appreciate you coming on and can't wait for, you know, the future shows that we're going to be just, you know, throwing out there and completely destroying and dropping knowledge everywhere. So again, appreciate you coming on, man.
Jeremy, I appreciate you having me, and I'm just, like I always tell people, honored and proud to be a part of Couch Rider Report, and I just can't wait. The future's just looking so bright for all of us, man. So thank you.
Hey, thank you, man. Well, the big thanks is to the fans and those listening to us. We thank you guys for joining us on today for our, you know, Top 100 Players Reaction Show. Please join in next week because we will be back. And again, this is Damien and Jeremy, you know, just providing you the original sports perspective from our couch to yours. Thank you guys so much, and everybody have a great weekend.
Peace.